U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at AlibabaPowersBusinesses.com.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Will Alvin Bragg really do it? By that, I mean, will he really indict Donald Trump for improper accounting of a hush money payment to an alleged mistress? Well, that seems to be the case, as leaks from the Manhattan DA's office suggest the former president could be charged as early as this week. Mr. Trump says it will happen Tuesday, though it doesn't appear as if he has been told that by the district attorney. In any case, the Trump political circus continues. What does it mean as a matter of law and for the 2024 election? I'm Paul Gigot, editorial page editor of the Wall Street Journal, here with my distinguished colleagues, if they don't mind that adjective, Bill McGurn, very distinguished. Hello, Bill. How are
you? Hi, Paul.
And Kim Strassel, super excellent distinguished. How are you?
Wow. Hi.
All right. Good to have you both here. So the charge looks like it's going to be improper accounting for a hush money payment to Stormy Daniels, $130,000 made in 2016 to keep her from going public with word of an affair, alleged affair with Trump in 2006. Trump denies ever having had such an affair. And this is usually a misdemeanor in New York, but may be bumped up to a felony on the theory that the money was meant to cover up a campaign finance violation because the payment was an assist, or so it is claimed, to Trump's presidential campaign. One more witness apparently is going to appear before the grand jury looking at evidence in this case, a lawyer for Trump, according to news reports. So charges are still uncertain, though the leaks suggest Bragg has decided. Bill, the feds looked at this and didn't indict. The FEC, Federal Election Commission, looked at it and didn't say it was a violation. What do you make of this as a matter of law?
Well, there's two issues, as you say, on the substance. Is so flimsy. Campaign violation, years after it happened, it just looks like the latest attempt to keep Donald Trump in the news. And also, I think the long term is kind of a loser for Trump, even if he's acquitted. Like, all takes will be one juror, right? But I think they'll have gotten the mileage out of it. They have kept Trump in the news.
I mean, you mean the Democrats charging.
Yeah. Because it seems the only campaign they have is against Donald Trump. And so they're always going to talk about him. I think they're going to campaign against Trump, even if someone else is a nominee. And this looks like it. So if he's acquitted later and it doesn't stick, no one remembers. And as you say, it's a long line of things, the FBI, two failed impeachments, other prosecutors looking at this stuff. It's just the latest, and there may be more down the road.
Kim, Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's former lawyer, is apparently a key witness in this case. He's, of course, an admitted felon. That will bear on his credibility as a witness. Bill says 7 years later, this is being resurrected. I guess the question is, why is Alvin Bragg doing this now? He's a local district attorney. Why now?
Yeah, you know, not only is Cohen a convicted felon, it's noteworthy that one of the charges for which he was convicted was for perjury. So that's always the kind of guy you want to go put up in front of a jury, as a guy who's already been to jail for not being truthful. And I'd also just point out, to build on what Bill said, it's so rare for prosecutors to actually charge campaign finance violations as felony prosecutions. We do have lots of campaign finance violations out there, but most of the time they are adjudicated in such a way that you pay a fine. It's just not common to do something like this. And I think you have to assume that Bragg is succumbing to pressure. The history here is that his office had engaged in a long investigation as well of the finances related to the Trump Organization. In the end, it was decided that that too would be a tenuous. And so he decided not to file those charges. And afterward, two of the prosecutors who worked on his team resigned in protest. One of them wrote a book that was highly critical of the decision not to indict or go after the Trump Organization. And there was a lot of criticism on the left. And it feels very much here, Paul, as though he is succumbing to all of that pressure and fury. and maybe is not really thinking about what kind of political furies he could be unleashing at a national level.
Yeah, none of this, at least from my point of view, the two of you may disagree, but none of this, in my view, is an attempt to apologize for or defend what appear to be a payment to Stormy Daniels. It's sleazy business. It's hardly honorable stuff. The question is, in my mind, whether it is in fact a criminal, and certainly whether it is felonious as opposed to a misdemeanor. And third, whether or not this is the kind of thing you want to charge a former president and a current candidate for president on. Because inherently, any kind of charge like this against a former president, which would be the first in American history. It's a long history, Bill, 230-some years that this happens. This is the sort of thing that happens in Bolivia or Brazil or any number of countries where they become familiar with using the prosecutorial power against political opponents. This hasn't been used here in the United States before, and this is opening up, I think, a Pandora's box of complications, implications, political animosities, and precedents that we don't really know where this will go. So in my view, what you want to do is if you're a prosecutor and you're going to bring some charges against a former president, current candidate, you better make sure it's a really serious legal violation. And then you better make sure there's not a chance that a judge is going to throw it out. There's not a chance that you're going to lose in court.
Yeah. And again, only one juror and you could lose in court. I don't think they think of those things. I'll add another reason, just purely self-interest, why they shouldn't bring the charge. I think it's just going to feed the Republicans in the House, the hearings on everything. I mean, I understand that in some of the cases, they're looking at real violations, but I don't think that's what we want our legislatures to do, spend their time going after other political decisions all the time. I think that, too, it should be for a big reason that everyone understands. And they're going to feed Republican cries to go after someone. I think if I were Hunter Biden, I wouldn't be for this because it's just going to encourage the Republicans.
So your point is that the Republicans in the House will respond to this by, number one, they're going to look at Alvin Bragg, the man and attorney. And number two, they're going to double down on going after Hunter Biden and Joe Biden.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Let's listen to Jim Jordan, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, react to the potential indictment.
The DOJ didn't bring the case. The Federal District of New York didn't bring the case. The previous prosecutor in the district there in Manhattan didn't bring the case. Mr. Bragg himself didn't want to bring the case, but then he got pressured, I think, from the left. And I would say this, the one thing that has changed, the one thing that I think has changed his mind is President Trump announced he was going to run for president again. And suddenly here they go. Now they're coming after him for some alleged bookkeeping error. You've got to be kidding me. So we want to know what kind of federal involvement may have taken place here.
Kim, Jim Jordan with another land speed record for speaking. Just a miraculous ability to speak so quickly and keep it all understandable. I'm incapable of doing that. But what do you make of this idea they could haul Alvin Bragg before a prosecutor, before the committee?
Yeah, so they sent out a letter already. It went out on Monday, demanding that he agree to come in and give testimony. And it's actually in front of three different committees. Mr. Jordan is just one. It's unclear who exactly is going to take lead here. But I don't see Bragg doing this. I don't think he'll agree to. There's obviously no upside to do so. Probably put forward any number of reasons for why he can't be compelled potentially to do so. But this is Republicans, as Bill was saying, already deciding that they're going to pile on. And this is, I think, the notable thing to me, Paul, is, I mean, just how much you are already seeing members of Congress fully engaged in this, a number of Democrats who are claiming that this is redolent of January 6th, arguing that Trump is now inciting violence by asking people to protest this move. One comment that really made me laugh, I saw Nancy Pelosi, the former speaker of the House, saying that Trump was doing this to keep himself in the news. And that just made me laugh out loud because the people that are obviously doing this are the Democrats who want to keep Trump in the news because they see some political advantage to doing so.
Just to make clear, Donald Trump on Saturday issued a statement on, I think it was Truth Social, his social media site he favors, denouncing the word of the potential prosecution, claiming his innocence, claiming it is a witch hunt, and saying his supporters should protest that. And that's what Nancy Pelosi was reacting to. Let's listen to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy react to Donald Trump's statement.
I don't think people should protest this, no. And I think President Trump, if you talk to him, he doesn't believe that either. I mean, I think the thing that you may misinterpret when President Trump talks, when someone says that they can protest, he would probably be referring to my tweet, educate people about what's going on. He's not talking in a harmful way, and nobody should. Nobody should harm one another in this, and this is why you should really make law equal, because if that was the case, nothing would happen here. And that is what has to transpire.
Bill, Kevin McCarthy walking a line he doesn't support. He has real questions about the prosecution if it goes ahead. On the other hand, I think he's very smart to say, please don't protest this. Let the legal system work its will.
Yeah, it points to what the Democrats have done. They've hurled a giant mud ball at Republicans, and all the Republicans now have to talk about Donald Trump in this and take out a position, debate among themselves, rather than talk about President Biden's policies or their proposals and so forth. They're all going to be debating Trump, and that's going to become the issue in the Republican Party. So again, I think Democrats like that. The only thing they have is running against Donald Trump. God forbid someone else, they won't know what to do.
All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the implications of a potential indictment if it happens when we come back.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at AlibabaPowersBusinesses.com.
Don't forget, you can reach the latest episode of Potomac Watch anytime. Just ask your smart speaker. Play the Opinion Potomac Watch podcast. That is, play the Opinion Potomac Watch podcast.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Kim Strassel and Bill McGurn talking about all the news about the potential indictment in the Manhattan court by the district attorney of Manhattan, Alvin Bragg. And Kim, I want you to build on this, react to the point that Bill made before the break, which is he thinks it's possible the Democrats actually love this because it keeps Trump front and center. They want to keep Trump at center stage. They would like him, notwithstanding their protests, that he become the nominee because they think they can beat him more easily than they could other candidates. And at the very least, if he doesn't become the nominee, all of this will divide the GOP. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's pretty prudent. Look at the recent midterms. President Biden and Democrats stuck with some very tricky financial and economic issues by putting a lot of attention on Donald Trump's endorsements of certain Senate candidates and talking about other divisive issues that really do split the GOP. They were able to come out of the midterms, I think, less harmed than they would have otherwise. And this follows as well 6 years going on of doing this, keeping Donald Trump front and center, whether it was the Russia collusion claims, other legal investigations into his family or his businesses, two separate impeachments, including the first one having to do with this kind of crazy Ukraine claim. It potentially helps Trump, I think, in the primary situation, in that what it does is it leads his followers and many in the GOP to believe that he's being unfairly targeted and shore up some support for him purely on the basis of a desire to push back against Democrats who are going after him. But that's what Democrats are hoping for, is they'd like to give him a bit of a push over some of the other nominees. And because they do believe that if they can get him back on the ballot again in 2024, that he is their best shot of their beating an opponent. And by the way, if Joe Biden is a nominee, he's already done it once.
All right. Let me introduce into this conversation a caveat or two about this indictment scenario and this one coming first, Bill. We also know that there are other legal issues circling around the former president. There's the Georgia grand jury, which is looking into his attempt to influence Georgia officials to overturn the election result there. We don't know what will happen in that grand jury. Has not returned an indictment yet, but has also not shut down. Then there's the threat of the special counsel, Jack Smith, appointed by the Attorney General Merrick Garland, to look into events of January 6th, former president's role there. He's been subpoenaing people right and left for that. And Smith is also looking into the handling of the classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. So there's a lot more going on here. If you're going to bring a charge against Trump, do you really want to lead with Stormy Daniels and hush money? Because it's first, could potentially create problems by poisoning the well for public perception of just what's going on here, instead of bringing a much more serious charge of more gravity.
I think in context, that's right, I think legally. In context, it looks to a lot of people like just the latest effort. They're not thinking that way. First, the FBI, then kind of like the permanent campaign against Trump, two impeachments and so forth. And they just going to keep throwing something against the wall until something sticks. So, yes, if I were the other prosecutors, especially the special prosecutor, I would not be happy with this. But the problem is, I think the political incentives are all to go for it. We mentioned pressure on the district attorney Bragg. But it's not just pressure. Like, if he does it, he'll be feted as a hero.
Do you think he will, Bill?
In the Democratic Party. Look, he doesn't have many achievements.
Well, that's because he said he doesn't want to arrest people.
Right, except for former president. So this could be a way out. And if you don't do it, like if Merrick Garland doesn't approve charges for Donald Trump, does he have two people resign and write a book about how he sold out? The Wall Street Journal is the only one writing sense on this, and I suspect the Democrats are not trying to please the Wall Street Journal editorial page in their decisions.
Well, Bill, you know, regretfully, that seems to be the case. Not that any politicians seem to be out to please us these days, but Kim, you know, it's really interesting to me, and I kind of look at this with some, interesting is the wrong word, almost a sense of real, I'm trying to catch the right word. It's disappointment, but also real concern about the state of our politics. I mean, when you start to go down the road of indicting a former president, you really do open, I think, yourselves up to a precedent that this is not going to be the last time. Some Republican local prosecutor, some attorney general somewhere is going to say, geez, I can make hay in my party if I do this too. And you've taken down another barrier to what we call normal political behavior.
Yeah. And I think disappointment is a good word, especially I keep reading all of these Democrats saying, well, nobody's above the law. Well, of course, nobody's above the law. Okay. But what we have always understood is that if you're going to go down this road, as you said, Paul, which is usually more reminiscent of certain countries that we make fun of as not being stable political democracies, if you're going to go down this road, you have indisputable evidence of some very serious offenses, something that when the public looks at it, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is a real prosecution that simply cannot be avoided. Because if you don't have that, then you are hanging out there, half of the country believing that this is only being done for political purposes. And yeah, of course it sets a precedent. I think you see this already. I've actually been kind of happy to see Kevin McCarthy not necessarily take all the steps that Nancy Pelosi did. She really broke a lot of precedents. I think he's trying to restore at least a few of them. But that really is very tenuous. It comes down to the leader at the time. And once you have set the bar lower, the natural tendency is instead to go lower still. And so I think this is very disturbing. We've had too many firsts lately. The first time raiding a president's home, first time special counsels looking into a former president and existing members. We have a special counsel's looking at both of the leading contenders for the 2024 presidential race. It's just absolutely crazy. And, you know, I think this goes back. Bill Barr said the Department of Justice really needed to get out of politics. He tried to do that, but we seem to have landed right back in it again, both at the federal and the state level.
And Bill, to your earlier point about Republicans being obliged, the other candidates to talk about this, Mike Pence was asked about it when he appeared on one of the Sunday shows. He said it seems to him like a politically charged decision. The Trump supporters demanding some kind of support from Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, for Donald Trump, and even demanding that he not allow the serving of an arrest warrant in Florida, which would be, of course, in defiance of the law, and not extradite Trump. That would be absurd. He should never do that. But here on Monday, Ron DeSantis issued a statement denouncing the prosecution and saying it does look like it is political. So now here we are. They're doing what many Democrats, I think, want them to have to do, which is talk about all Trump all the time.
Not only that, Paul, as you point out with the statement, what they want to be able to say is this guy is just a Trump apologist and so forth. He's on Trump's side. He's Trump by a different name. And when they rightly point out this is politicized, that's what it's going to be used against him. It's going to be used against him to say Trump has infected the whole party and the other guys are no better than he is.
Kim, our colleagues in the press professing to be horrified by it all, but you know what? They love it. They want Trump back. I mean, their ratings depend on it. They sold books like nobody's business. You know, if I see another faux, you know, more in sorrow than an anger tweet from some reporter, I'm going to start to cry myself.
Yeah, I mean, of course they love it. And they play it up all the time. I mean, one of the things that's I was actually happy to see, even the New York Times acknowledged that this potential prosecution by Bragg hinged on a very untested and risky legal theory. I was practically shocked to read that because that has never been a reason that the press has ever stopped and hasn't sort of cheerleaded a different type of prosecution in the past. And this is one of the problems we have as we were talking about those standards and norms, is that the press is supposed to play a vital role in there. It's supposed to be a kind of blow the whistle when people get out of their lane. And we haven't had that in the past 6 years. Instead, we've had a press that has just been cheering on any kind of breaking of norms on the grounds that supposedly anything is acceptable if it's designed to stop Donald Trump.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Bill. Thank you all for listening. We're back every day here on Potomac Watch. And please be sure to sign up for us on your favorite podcast purveyor. This story isn't going away. We'll be back to talk about it and many other things of more substance, we hope, every day here on Potomac Watch. Thanks for listening.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at alibabapowersbusinesses.com.